Like to turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. We're going to begin a series on the church covenant. To begin by reading the church covenant. Most are familiar with it, and certainly everybody ought to be very familiar with it. It reads, having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God in this assembly most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage therefore by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale of and use of destructive drugs or intoxicating drinks as a beverage, to shun pornography, to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember one another in prayer, to aid one another in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling, Christian courtesy and speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word, and that pretty much says it all. It's a summary of Christian conduct. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, I'd like to read verse 15. Galatians 3, verse 15. Paul says, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto." Now, there's a great deal of misunderstanding regarding the church covenant among the membership of Lord's churches. We do not expect the world to understand the church covenant. We do not expect them to understand the purpose of it. And we certainly do not believe that they will agree with it. We do not expect the world to agree with the covenant. But many church members give the church covenant no credence at all. And their protest is that the church covenant has no claim upon their lives, and that it's merely a man-made document with no scriptural basis. Nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, you can find scripture for every single thing in that covenant. In fact, you could add a lot to it. You could make it as big as the wall back there. Too many also just view it as something that hangs on the church wall, as it does in many churches. And then, of course, there are those who are barely aware that church covenant even exists, and that is to the fault of the church. But almost all the Lord's churches have adopted a church covenant, but very few have given it the attention that they should. Very few give it the respect that they should. As a result, of this lack of attention, this lack of respect toward the church covenant. Many of the Lord's churches have a membership that is greatly lacking in spirituality. Greatly lacking in spirituality. If there was ever a day when the Lord's churches cannot afford to lack in spirituality, it's the day in which we live. And yet, churches today are making it easier for people to join. And all of that does is add to the lack of spirituality. Churches have also, because of this lack of respect and attention to the covenant, they've fallen into a very low state of credibility in the world. The world does not have to agree with us, and again, we do not expect the world to agree with us. And that's not the problem. But there is a great problem when the church's credibility is nothing in the world. That's a problem. And that is a problem because of people who are members of the church not living like they ought to. And they do great destruction. They do great harm to the Lord's churches. Now, one of the keys to understand the church covenant is to understand the nature of the church. And I'm convinced today that a large number of members of the Lord's churches do not understand the nature of the Lord's church. They believe that it's local, and that's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the nature. They do not understand the responsibility of membership in the Lord's churches. And again, to a large degree, that is the church's fault, that they do not understand. But in understanding the nature, in understanding the importance of the church, one begins to grasp how serious it is to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. I can't think of anything more serious than to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. And they do not understand the awesome responsibilities that that entails. It entails a great responsibility to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. And if someone is not willing to take that responsibility, they should not be a member. It's very simple. It entails many duties. Every member of the Lord's church has a duty to that church. They have a duty to every member of that church. It entails many obligations. But the covenant helps to identify. It helps to clarify those responsibilities, those duties, those obligations. That's what the church covenant does. Now, for all of those who say, well, it's a document of man. Well, so is the statement of faith. So is that. Most people don't have a problem with the statement of faith. What is a statement of faith? It is... sure, it's a man-made document, but it is a summary of what the Bible teaches. It is a summary of what a church believes. Church covenant is no different. It is a summary. It is a summary of what members of a church agree to do or not to do in some cases. So the nature of the church and the covenant, the nature of the church and the covenant, reveals the seriousness, reveals the importance of membership in one of the Lord's churches. The nature of the church and the nature of the covenant reveals that church membership is privilege. And that's what many do not seem to ever grasp. It is a privilege. It is not a right. Someone will say, I grew up in that church. I'm sorry. Church membership is not a right. It is a privilege. It is a privilege that carries responsibility. It is a blessing. It is a blessing that involves great responsibility. It is a privilege and a blessing that involves accountability. And that's what the covenant is saying. The covenant is saying that we're not only accountable to God, but we are accountable to one another. People today do not like to be held accountable. They want to just live as they please with no one to answer to. But if you're a member of one of the Lord's churches, you are accountable. You are accountable to that assembly. If you do not want to be accountable, the solution is simple. You don't join. That's all there is to it. This is not something that is up for debate. This is simply the way it is. If you are a member of one of the Lord's churches, you have a responsibility. You have many responsibilities, and you are accountable. And the covenant basically states accountability. And this is one of the reasons, there's many, but this is one of the reasons that folks have a difficulty with the covenant, again, is because their difficulty is not so much with the covenant, their difficulty is with accountability. They don't want that. So the church covenant, the nature of the church, shows us that it is a privilege to be a member. And that privilege involves responsibilities. That privilege involves accountability. The nature of the church and the covenant reveals that the church is more than a social organization for the pleasure of its members. That's not what church membership is about. We enjoy fellowship. That is not the primary purpose of the Lord's church, nor is it for the pleasure of its members. And this is what a lot of folks are looking for today. This is why, up until maybe 10 years ago, I got used to when visitors came in, you preach, maybe halfway through the message, they'd get up and leave. But now some of them get up and leave during the announcements. Why is that? Because they're listening for what activities you have. What pleasure are you going to bring me? And if there's nothing in those announcements, they're done. Because they're simply looking for pleasure. But that's not the purpose. That's not the purpose of church membership. And I believe the nature of the church and the church covenant reveals that the church is not a social organization. It's something far, far more serious than that, and it's not simply there for the pleasure of its members. The nature of the church and the covenant reveals that each member is to be an addition to the church. You know, there in the book of Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, we read that the Lord added to the church daily. There are some people who can have their name put on a roll, and by so doing, they have subtracted from the church. They haven't added anything but problems and troubles. They do not add to the spirituality of the church. I believe the covenant pretty much states that each member will be truly an addition to the church. We're not interested in numerical addition. We are interested in spiritual additions. People who are added and truly are an addition to the church. So each member is to bring about, again, an addition is an increase. It is an improvement. And each member of the Lord's church is to bring about a spiritual increase in that church. They are to bring about a spiritual improvement in that church. That's our responsibility. That's our responsibility as members, to be a spiritual increase to Home Baptist Church, to be a spiritual improvement to that church. And I don't understand why we would want to be anything but that. Certainly we wouldn't want to be one who would add to the spiritual decrease of spirituality, each member should be an addition to the worship of a church. One of the purposes of a church is to worship. So each member should be an addition to that. They shouldn't be a subtraction. They shouldn't in any way diminish from the worship of the church. If they do, they have failed in their responsibility as a member. So when we think about being a member of the Lord's church, we need to ask ourselves, am I truly going to be an addition to that church? Or am I just interested in having my name upon a church roll? To be an addition means that we are an addition or an increase or an improvement to the steadfastness and to the faithfulness of a church. Each and every member ought to increase the steadfastness of a church. Each and every member ought to increase the faithfulness of that church. Again, a church can only be steadfast if its members are steadfast. They can only be faithful if its members are faithful. And the more members that are steadfast, the more steadfast the church. The more faithful, the more members that are faithful, the more faithful the church. So the covenant is basically saying that we are, as members, we realize that we are to be an addition. We are to be an increase and an improvement to the Lord's church. That would include holiness. We're not to diminish from the holiness of the church. Each and every member is to increase the holiness of the church. And the only way you can do that is to live holy. It's to increase the spirit and attitude of the church. There are church members who have a terrible spirit and a bad attitude. And I realize that folks can... We can all get in a bad mood. We all can have a bad day. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that are this way all the time. I mean, every service, you can mark it down, they're going to be this way. Why are they going to be this way? Because that's what they are. That's how they live. They have a bad spirit. They have a bad attitude. You read the church covenant. You cannot possibly stay in line with that covenant and have a bad spirit or have a bad attitude. So again, the covenant is just saying that we are to be a true addition to the Lord's church. The nature of the church and the nature of the covenant also reveals that church membership, again, is more than just having our name upon a piece of paper, more than having our name in a book. It is a way of life. It is a way of life. And again, if folks are not willing to make church a way of life, then they shouldn't be a member. Because church membership is a way of life. It's not just something that you do every now and then when you feel like it. It's a way of life. Again, Acts chapter 9, when Saul is persecuting the church of the Lord, he's persecuting a way of life there, if you read the first few verses. He's persecuting a certain manner of living. In church membership, again, it's personal, it's real, and it's a priority. It's a priority. It's a way of life. So it's a priority. And again, you read the church covenant, you read the Word of God, and it has to be a priority. Yet today, if you look at Baptist churches, our churches are becoming more and more filled with people that church is not a priority. It's not a priority even on Sunday. I mean, it's pretty bad when it can't even be a priority on one day of the week. And if it's not a priority on one day of the week, guess what? None of the other parts of the covenant are a priority either. You can mark it down. It's not a priority. So when we're going to be a member of a church, we need to ask ourselves, is this going to be a way of life? Is this going to be a priority with me? Because everything that a church ought to be, its members ought to be. And it has to be a priority. People will say all the time, oh, Brother Dan, I wish the church was such and such. And they're the rottenest members that there are. And my response is, if you want the church to be that way, what are you adding to that? What are you contributing to that? Well, I wish the church would witness more. Fine. What are you contributing to that? Each member must recognize their own responsibility and must be accountable for that. Now, the nature of the church and the church covenant also reveals that church membership, of course, is a commitment. It's a commitment. And again, this is one reason that folks do not like church covenant, because it is a commitment. I mean, you read that, and it basically, you might as well just write it in bold letters, this is a commitment. This is a commitment. But people today want to be a member of the church without any commitment whatsoever. They'll commit themselves whenever they feel like it. But church membership is a commitment. First and foremost, it is a commitment to the Lord. First and foremost. Secondly, it is a commitment to the church of which one is a member. That means it is a commitment to each member of that church. It also means that it is a commitment to the purpose of that church. It is a commitment to the work of that church. It is a commitment. Church membership is a covenant relationship. And that's what the church covenant is saying. This is a covenant relationship. Folks don't like that. Because if you have a covenant, then I have to be committed to something. I have to be dedicated to something. That thing has to be a priority to me. You see, I want to be a member, but I want to be able to work on Sundays. I want to be able to play on Sundays, come on Wednesday nights whenever I please. That's the kind of member I want to be. We don't want that kind of member. We really don't. And people today think it's terrible. Well, a church has to receive everybody. You show me that in the Word of God. It's nowhere in the Word of God. The church has the right to refuse or to accept whoever they please. Every church has that right. And they will answer to the Lord on who they receive. And they will answer to the Lord of those that they do not receive. It's amazing today. Any organization on the face of the earth has rules. They all have rules. They all have some decorum. And they all expect something of the members of that organization. But suddenly it comes to the church and it don't matter. But there's no organization that it matters more. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are businesses. They have dress codes. People get paid. They go to work. They agree. This IBM or whatever at one time had a dress code, black suits, white shirts. That was their dress code. Don't like it? Don't work there. Simple as that. But that's their dress code, because I don't know if it still is, but it was, that they wanted to present an image. And there are businesses all over the world like that. They want to present an image. And there is an image that the church must uphold, the image of Christ. And if one is not willing to take on the image of Christ, they shouldn't be a member. So the covenant is simply saying that this is a commitment. But also, the nature of the church and the nature of the covenant reveals that church membership is a recognition of church authority. It is a recognition of church authority. When one becomes a member of one of the Lord's churches, at that very moment, they are then placed under the authority of that church. You say, I'm not under the authority of anybody. Then you shouldn't be a member. You see, but when you join a church, or when the Lord adds you to a church, you recognize I am now under the authority of that church. It's not under the authority of a particular pastor. It is under the authority of that church. Even the pastor is under the authority of the church. He can't just do anything he pleases. He's under church authority. Every member recognizes or should recognize that they are under the authority of the church. That simply means that they, when you become a member, that makes you morally bound to abide by certain stipulations, to abide by certain conditions of the church of which you are a member. You say, well, I don't agree with certain stipulations or certain conditions. Whether you agree with it or not, once you become a member, you place yourself under that. Whether you agree with it or not, doesn't matter. You still place yourself under that. And so again, these things are not up for debate. It's amazing. Through the years, how many people want to debate certain issues before they become a member. I'm not going to debate that with anybody because it's not a subject for debate. It's not open to debate. You either agree to follow these things or you go somewhere else where you can do what you think you need to do. So it gets down to when an individual joins a church, they join the church, and not vice versa. The church doesn't join anybody. People join the church. People are added to the church. But today, folks want the church to join them. They don't want to agree with the lifestyle of the church. They want the church to agree with their lifestyle. Well, that's backwards. That's backwards. So the nature of the church and the nature of the church covenant basically tells us loud and clear that church membership matters. Church membership matters. It's not something that you can just slough off. So that brings us to the covenant. What is a covenant? Well, by definition, a covenant is a binding agreement made by two or more individuals or parties to do or to keep from doing a specified thing. Galatians 3, verse 15, again, Paul says, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth there too. That shows the seriousness of a covenant. A covenant is binding. It's binding. Notice in the book of Numbers, chapter 30, book of Numbers, chapter 30, I want to read verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul. A covenant is a promise, which we'll see here in a little bit. That's what a vow is. That's what an oath is. And when one makes a vow or one swears an oath, they have bound their soul. He shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. The Bible warns not to be so quick to make a promise because it binds you. Don't be so quick. If you're going to make a promise, if you're going to enter into a covenant, you'd better think the thing through. You'd better really examine yourself. Am I serious about this? It's the same if you were going to apply for a job and a company had a list of rules before you sign a contract, you'd better give it serious consideration. You better think about this. Can I do this? Can I abide by this? The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, and it's no different when we come to a church covenant. In fact, it's even more so. We need to be sure that what we're doing, that we're sure about what we're doing. Verse 21 of Deuteronomy 23, when When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. You are better off never joining the Lord's church than joining and not paying any attention to the covenant. You're better off. The Lord, if you agree to a covenant, the Lord is going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold you accountable. So you need to be sure. You need to make sure. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Now the Lord uses a covenant to illustrate many things. A covenant is illustrative of the contract of marriage. Notice in the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 14. Malachi 2, verse 14. You know, people will say all the time, well, marriage is just a piece of paper. No, it's a covenant. It's a covenant. Those are the same people who say, church covenant, that's just a piece of paper. It doesn't mean anything. No, it's a covenant. It means a lot. In Malachi 2, verse 14, yet ye say, wherefore, let's see here. Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. The wife of thy covenant. It's a promise. It's an agreement. And it's binding. And when it comes to a church covenant, it's no different. It's binding. It's a promise. We see also that a covenant is used to illustrate God's promises to man. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Strangers from the covenants of promise. A covenant is used to illustrate the promise, the promises of God. We see also that a covenant is used to illustrate the determination of a people serve the Lord. And certainly that applies to the church covenant. Notice in 2 Kings chapter 11. 2 Kings chapter 11. And we'll read verse 17. 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 17. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people. And here's what that covenant had in mind, that they should be the Lord's people between the king also and the people. They made a covenant that they would be the Lord's people. Notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Verse 12. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. They entered into a covenant to serve God. They entered into a covenant to seek God with all their heart and with all their soul. And when they entered into that covenant, they became responsible. They not only became responsible, they became accountable. They become accountable to each one that they enter into covenant with. Covenant is a very serious thing. And if one is not in agreement with or willing to abide by the terms of a covenant, it doesn't matter what covenant it is, we're, of course, talking about church covenant. But if you're not in agreement with a contract, don't sign the contract. If you have no intention of abiding by the terms of a contract, don't sign the contract. That is dishonesty. That's stealing. Church covenant is no different. If you do not agree with it, if you do not intend to abide by its terms, by its conditions, or by its stipulations, don't enter into it. Because it's serious business to enter into a covenant. So a church covenant is a binding agreement. It's like any other covenant. It is a document. It is a document that states the understanding of the members of the nature and mission of the church. It is a document that specifies the obligation under which the members are placing themselves. In no way is it meant to replace the Bible as a book of church order, nor to supersede it in any way. It is simply a summary of what the Bible teaches. It's what it is. A summary of what the Bible teaches so that people can understand. These are our obligations, and we understand that these are our obligations. And churches throughout the last several decades have failed miserably in getting people or causing people to recognize and understand their obligations if they join such and such church. We've failed. We've failed miserably. And I believe our churches have paid for it and are still paying for it today. And it can't continue. It just cannot continue. If churches have gotten into a bad habit of not explaining the church covenant, they need to break that habit. Because it can't continue that way. The Lord's church can't continue that way. The church covenant defines relationships. Again, you read the covenant, and it defines relationships between members and God. It defines relationships between members and members. I've heard people say it doesn't matter. Oh, the only thing that matters is my relationship with God. No, that's not the only thing that matters. It also matters your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And the truth is, if your relationship is right with God, your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ will be right. So, a covenant defines relationships. This church covenant, again, is an agreement. It is an agreement among church members. It is an agreement or a summary of how church members agree to live. That's what it is. We agree to live this way. If you're not in agreement with that, don't enter into the covenant. It's simple. Don't enter into the covenant. More importantly, it's a summary of how God would have us to live. You read that church covenant, and you study it, and you show me where anything in that covenant goes against what God would expect from His people. It is a summary of how God expects us to live. The church covenant, of course, does not include every command regarding obedience, but it is a summary. It is a summary and gives us a general idea of what it is to be a disciple of Christ. And every church member ought to strive to be a disciple or a follower of Christ. Church covenant is an affirmation of commitment. It is an affirmation of commitment to God. It is an affirmation of commitment to His church. It is an affirmation of commitment to a life of personal holiness. It serves as a focal point for mutual commitment. And that's, again, basically what the covenant is saying. We are mutually committed to doing this. Church membership should not be made up of a group of people that does all the work and everybody else does nothing. It is a mutual commitment. It is a mutual commitment. This is the way we are going to live. This is what we agree to. And that's what the church covenant is. It is a solemn promise. It is a promise. It represents the word of the membership of a local congregation. A common phrase throughout the church covenant is the words, "we engage." We engage. The word "engage" simply means we pledge or we promise. Are we going to fail? Yes. But it ought to be our endeavor. It ought to be our endeavor to fulfill what God expects us to do. We all fail. We all fail in the church covenant. We all fail in the Word of God. And again, the church covenant is a summary of the Word of God. And again, if one does not have any intention of abiding by the stipulations, then it's simple. Be wise and don't enter in the covenant until you can agree to abide by its stipulations. Then, lastly, and we'll close, the spirit and attitude of the covenant is stated in the very first paragraph of the church covenant. It states, "We do now solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant." Solemnly and joyfully. That is, reverently, seriously, with great reflection, we enter into covenant. And we do this with great pleasure. That's the spirit, and that's the attitude of the covenant. So we have to understand, if we're going to understand the nature of the covenant, we have to understand the nature of the church. And when I say the nature of the church, I mean more than just the fact that it's local versus universal. Certainly it is local, but it's more than that. And next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the nature of the church, which shows us the importance of membership in one of the Lord's churches. If you are a member of Home Baptist Church, don't ever take that lightly. It is an awesome responsibility. It is such a responsibility, it may cost you your life if you don't abide by it. It's an awesome responsibility. It involves accountability. If you are not a member of Home Baptist Church and you're saved, before you ever become a member, you make absolute certain that you're willing and that you're going to be committed to this. And through the years, I've had people, "Well, so-and-so doesn't abide by the covenant," as if to say, "I don't have to, they don't." That's a bad spirit. That's a bad attitude. And it speaks volumes of one's spirituality. Instead of putting your focus upon those who fail the covenant miserably, why don't you focus on someone who does their best to fulfill it? And take the attitude, "That's what I want to do." Instead of, "Well, they don't fill it, so I don't have to." Well, that one does, and that's what I want to do. That should be our spirit. That should be our attitude. Again, I hope we realize that this is very, very serious business. I have been accused through the years of trying to keep people out of the church, and it's true. There have been, through the years, certain people that I tried to keep out, tried to encourage the church not to receive them because of their lifestyle, because perhaps they weren't even saved. That's my responsibility. And I've never heard, well, he encouraged so-and-so to, you know, he led us to receive them. No, it's the ones you don't. But not, again, don't ever get in the mindset, because this is what the world has done a very good job on, that the church gets in the mindset, well, if they come forward and say they want to be a member, we've got to receive them. No, you don't. You don't have to receive anybody. You follow the leading of the Spirit of the Lord. And you make sure that you're not doing anything contrary to the Word of God. Because if you don't do that, it's not going to stop there. Don't you see? It's not going to stop with one member. There's going to be another, and another, and another. So you open this door. You're not just opening it for one member. You're opening it for generations, perhaps. So we have to be careful. And we have to realize the seriousness of being a member of one of the Lord's churches. And oh, how we ought to thank God. What a blessing. What a privilege. How we ought to thank God that He has added us to one of His churches. Brother Mark, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.